This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, everybody. Jason again. Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show. This is the final third segment, my conversation with Dr. Terry Lowe, Kennesaw State University. Dr. Terry, are you ready for the future of sales?
I think I'm old enough where I'm not going to see that much more of the future.
And if it helps, the future is now. It sounds cheesy and cliche, but it's true. For everyone tuning in, make sure you caught part one and two. I won't go into a full intro, but Terry is the, I'll just say it, the godfather of the National Collegiate Sales Competition mode. He's been in academia since 91. He's been focusing on the future of sales by looking at the research and taking that analytical view, which I love. I'm a dude with a marine biology degree that fell into sales and has just kind of figured it out with no adult supervision. And Terry here is really diving in and figuring out what it takes. Now, kicking off this third segment, which is about the future of sales, which can mean a whole lot of different things, where we left off in the last part, it hit me. I thought, and I was about to pull the pin on this, but I wanted to throw it in this one here, which is companies do that thing where they take salespeople, they give them some product knowledge, maybe some scripting, maybe a little bit of role playing, throw them out there, throw them into the big game and let them basically get destroyed. And some make it and some don't, and very few people will. Why do you think companies still do that? It's 2023. Why do they keep doing that product focused training with literally no sales skills and then just assuming that people are going to be naturally born or they're just going to have a high turnover rate until they find the superstars?
Yeah. And often they just think that's the way it is. And I've talked to lots and lots of companies, but as you found out a couple of years ago that schools actually teach sales, but there's only about 200 universities in the world who have standalone sales classes, not sales management. Everybody teaches sales management, but they don't teach sales skills or they don't teach a sales career. They just teach the management side of it. So what we're doing is teaching sales skills, how to prepare for a sales career, moving up. If you want to go into sales management, but a life career in sales is a great career. So there's not a, they're just not aware of it. And here's, as a faculty, tenure track faculty professor, most of the school, this is how we get funded. We get hired by university in order to do research, basically. So we bring recognition to the university in that sense. We don't have extra time to promote our programs. We don't have full scale campaigns going out and saying, okay, we have these sales programs, sales degrees, et cetera. We do the best we can. Some schools do it better than others, but there's over 6,000 colleges and universities in the United States. I speak with multi-billion-dollar companies and multi-million-dollar companies every week. They find out about our program. They give me a call. We talk about it and talk about some ways that they can get involved and find some good salespeople. But there's still, most companies just aren't aware of it. Hopefully at some point in time, there's going to be every school in the country having a degree in professional selling or something like that. And then the companies will be aware of it. But I think right now, the companies I speak with, they're just not aware that this is available. And I think many companies, and not to disparage some of the big companies out there who don't do this, but they don't understand sales. If you have a salesperson, sales lady or guy who's come up through the ranks and they get into vice president, then they get into on further up in the C-suite, then they probably get it and understand that there needs to be some training, and not just product training. It's got to be sales process training, soft skills, et cetera, because that has a huge impact. And then somebody leaves the company and then they take the emphasis off the sales area and the sales skills piece versus the sales product or the features piece. So it's just a lack of knowing. And again, when we started doing that University Sales Center Alliance, our hope and still hope is to get all the schools in the country, North America, and then across the world that have programs in the sales area because it's just a huge, huge need. I don't think it's, I think part of it is just a lack of knowledge of what's out there, which is why I like doing these kinds of programs. Hopefully some people will become aware of them.
So what's interesting as you're talking, I'm thinking about the unconscious competence through that whole cycle. And I'm thinking about companies being in that same mode, right? Because this is what I say all the time. It's human to human because there's people at a company leading that company. So they're still humans, no matter what you're selling, no matter who you're dealing with. It doesn't matter at a fundamental level, but there's literally companies, and you're talking about massive companies where they are unconscious, incompetent. They don't know what they don't know, and they think what they're doing is the only way, or they're not even thinking about it. Like you said, they're on autopilot, and then they realize, wait, I don't know. And it sounds like those are the ones who are calling you going, I realize I don't know what I'm doing. And then I want some help, or I want to be involved. And obviously, you know, I think you mentioned on the last episode, you know, it's like AA, right? The first step is the hardest, right? Admitting that you have a problem or that you're powerless to change something. And, you know, what does that look like? And especially in the world of sales. So one of the things you told me when we initially spoke prior to, you know, setting this up was I brought up the fact that sales is not actually a profession. And you educated me in the major way. In fact, there's two books that I now have at your recommendation that I'm reading through. One is easy. One is way more scholastic than I am, for sure. But talking about the fact that it's not a profession, right? That a plumber is more of a profession because they actually have barriers to entry and education and standards and things like that. And sales doesn't, right? You show up and you're just a salesperson. It doesn't matter, right? Yep. Talk about that, because this is the future of sales, and the future in your world is making sales a profession, not being a professional salesperson who's making money, but a sales profession.
Well, and you can be professional, and you can be a professional by doing this with integrity, with honesty, with ethics, keeping in mind, because that is the process to be successful. The profession side, and it's as we have more government control and other things that are going on, the professions themselves, because they not only had barriers to entry, but they also were self-governing, where they held themselves accountable. So all the codes of ethics, and I know specifically in the medical profession, their Hippocratic Oath and the medical profession ethics. And so they used to be able to govern themselves much more so without getting a lot of involvement from outside. So I'm not sure if the sales profession is going to get to that point, but making it professional in the sense that maybe there are some barriers to entry, and some of the companies are get into that because used to you didn't have to have a degree to go into a sales role. Some companies, probably many companies, still do not have that. But a lot of the companies we work with now understand the value of this piece of the education they get when they go through higher education. So the more we can get it to that point, even though there's very few professions, true professions out there. And if we can come up, and actually we started looking at this, it's been looked at for a while, but I know I did a study in the 90s with a colleague of mine, Scott Inks. He's the director of the center here. I'm the executive director. We've worked together a long time, but we worked together in the 60s about how to develop sales certifications. And there's actually a lot of that has been around for a while, but it's not stuck. There's not one certification that allows you to become a professional salesperson. I think the closest that we come to that is getting a degree at a university. And there's a lot of certificates and badges that you can get, but there's still, you know, the University Sales Center Alliance. One of the things we want to do is create this body that gained credibility, not only with the universities, because part of that is universities now see the University Sales Center Alliance as basically an accrediting body for sales centers. And so we want to grow that, but we don't do that without industry, not to put a plug in, but we are always looking for industry people, all the schools in the country. I'm looking for not just the people, but companies to partner with us that allow us to work together because it's in their self-interest to get good salespeople. And we take out, you know, the kids coming out of these programs. You've read the Sales Education Foundation research. You know, they have lower turnover rates. They have faster ramp-up times. You know, that's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars that companies can save if they get good salespeople who don't leave. So we try to incentivize the companies by helping them. Actually, we need them. We want them to be a part of the educational process with our students. And so we do vet companies when we partner with them here at Kennesaw State. We'll go through 3, 4, 5 meetings before we actually partner with them, because we want someone who is going to be a good fit with what we're trying to accomplish. And most companies I speak with, they get on board right away, and they appreciate that we go through a vetting process. I'm not just, again, gets back to the authenticity. I'm not just trying to get your money. There's a partnership here, and we need to make sure it's going to be a good fit for your sake, but also for our sake. We're actually trying to develop good people, good citizens, especially in the sales area, who are going to go out and make a meaningful difference and meaningful impact, not only on the companies that they work with, but also society.
Well, and I love that. And one of the parts that was fascinating about the profession side and making it a profession, again, like you said, you can be a professional and treat it like that, you know, and hold yourself to those standards, which is what I focus on with people. But actual profession, what you said is before it becomes self-governing, it always starts in higher education, and it's something that's then researched and then taught, and then it's a part of that curriculum. And then usually it detaches from there somehow and then becomes a self-regulated industry, if you will. Think of electricians and plumbers and all of that, where this now this thing that's out of it. And so that's what I love about this, is really getting excited and thinking about the work that you're doing and all these schools, the 200 different schools, the ones with the full degree programs. Like you said, I think you said there's like 35 of them, is that they're, you know, this is how that happens. This is how that movement grows and becomes such that, you know, in the future that I see when talking to you, is companies will only want to hire people who have some higher education in sales, whether degreed or not, because they know that's a way better bet on somebody for their company and a better fit than not. And then that will shift the landscape in general, right? Is that what you're hoping for?
If I may interject in that thought process, you know, there's often when I'm talking to a company, or we'll have sales professionals contact us. They've been out 20, 30 years, or they've been doing sales for 20, 30, 40 years. They got good experience. They want to give back to the program, and they don't really understand. And that's great, because we love that, but they don't understand what we're actually doing. So it gets back to the guy trying to hit the baseball because he read a lot of books. And it's the same analogy. You can't do sales just by reading books. I mean, so these schools don't do it that way. We're not just academic and theory driven. The theory is important to understand the why. But we go through a lot of experiential exercises and experiential learning, because that allows you, just like getting in the batting cage and doing the role plays, it allows you to start gaining muscle memory and mind memory. So they actually get real world experience. Most every school that I know, and all the professors I speak with across the country, their students are actually making calls on real people in the world. Mm-hmm. They're doing cold calling. We have a cold calling lab. I record it. We have a rubric to go through on that. They actually have to talk with real people, have real meetings, real sales calls. And they're selling anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 to $30,000, $40,000. So we want them to understand that. And then they have to go out and shadow salespeople from our corporate partners. So we want them to, as much as they can, understand what this career looks like. And the reason for the turnover, the high turnover with entry-level salespeople, is most people like us have no idea that there was a process at all, have no idea how hard this is going to be, because everybody thinks the stereotypical view of either playing golf or going out to lunches, and it's just easy. You go out there and talk to people, they give you money. And then most people didn't plan to get into sales. So the kids coming through these programs, like ours, like LSU's, Ball State's, Ohio University, all these schools, Florida State, it's got a great program. They understand process. They've got the mechanics down of understanding this is a strategic conversation. It is a conversation. But I know I have a path I want to go on. I'm going to control that path by the questions I ask. If there's an end goal that I have with that meeting, and they have to do this over and over again, then they have to go out and practice in the real world. They have to do these sales role plays. Competitions are great because it's a more pressure-packed situation. They're doing it in front of different people, not just their classmates. So they get process, but they also, as much as you can teach a 20, 21, 22-year-old how hard this is going to be, when they start doing cold calls, they always get it. I'm going to fail most of the time. And all these kids want to go into sales. So they understand process. They know it's going to be hard. Their expectation level of their success and what's going to happen is much more accurate. So I'm less likely to leave a company if I have those things in place. And so all these schools that teach sales and all the ones we know, and when we meet together with that University Sales Center Alliance, you know, those are things we talk about. And so we're doing a lot of the same things where we can bring the best practices together with the help of industry. We're not a bunch of academics stuck in a room thinking about it. We actually go out and make and do field work, do field observation and field studies. And the companies come in with their sales trainers and their sales managers, and we're working together on producing this next generation of sales leaders.
It's obvious to me two things. One is that you love what you do, making a big impact. I love how much it's changing the future of sales. And two, I knew that the time for us to record all this was not going to be enough time to chat about. I haven't even gotten to any of the topics I wanted to actually talk about that I would about the future of sales. Your final thoughts, future of sales, what you see, what you're excited about, you know, in maybe the future generation, how they're responding, what they're going to do out there in the world. Like what is one final thought you have on that?
A couple of things, and I'll try to keep it short. One is I think the tools change. We have more access. Our customers have more access to knowledge, information. The rapidity and how fast we can maybe help speed the sales cycle up. But the sales process and the human brain and the mind and the way we think and the way we make decisions is not going to change. It may get faster. It may have more information. So our process is going to be the same. So you're never going to be in a situation when you're trying to sell complex products where you're just doing it via virtual AI. That's not going to happen. Humans still, when they make decisions, need that interaction. Again, especially when you have very complex sales that are in place. So tools are going to get better. They've gotten better. You know, one of the great silver linings of the COVID thing is we had to pivot and do that national competition. Rather than doing it face-to-face, we had to do it virtually. So the silver lining was everybody really then started getting on WebEx or Zoom, or they started understanding virtual calls. And that has changed the companies. I think that's one of the things. There's going to be less face-to-face from a travel standpoint, and more companies I speak with and I've done research on, they're doing more of this, and this is effective. It's not all that you need to do, but it's much more effective than just a phone. So I think that's changing. But I don't think the basic process is going to change from a sales standpoint. I'm looking forward to, and they may already have this in the same line, to having a camera inside the screen. So rather than me looking at this camera, I can look at your face on the camera. And there may be some out there right now, but that's one thing I'm looking forward to because I do this quite a bit. I'm excited. You know, there's a lot of you hear in the media, you hear the different pundits talking about the next generation coming through and how, you know, how soft they are, how entitled they are. What we have found out when I'm any young person coming through, and even any adult that we teach or we have training with, if they're open to learning, that's going to help. But I've found that if we ask a 20-year-old, 21, 22, 23-year-old to do hard things, and everybody else is required to do those hard things, they step up. We're not holding their hands. They actually have to go out and make calls. We require them to do it. They don't get out of our program unless they do the hard things they need to do. And then they get inspired. They have a culture that's created that I'm a part of this group that's going to do something fantastic and make a difference. And that is, you know, the Zig Ziglar, another quote by him said, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But if you give him enough salt, he's going to want to drink. And so our ability and everyone's ability to inspire this younger generation coming through to help them envision what they can actually accomplish and do. And I think especially in making a difference in people's lives, a real difference in people's lives and in companies, then I'm excited about that.
I love it. Well, and I think that's a great place to leave, especially thinking about, you know, if people are saying that future generation or anybody is soft and unmotivated, A, do they have a reason to be motivated in whatever it is? And then is anyone asking them to do hard things? I feel like there's a lot of people who just don't ask the future generation to do anything hard. Maybe they're just trying to shelter them and keep them from hard things. And then what is that creating? And so I love that. I love those thoughts on the future of sales. For people who want to connect with you, if they haven't already and they're catching this part three, LinkedIn, connect with you, Terry Lowe, L-O-E on LinkedIn, follow, see everything that you're doing and part of the program. Link will be in the show notes, but Kennesaw State University's Professional Selling Institute. Make sure to find that, connect. If you're a company and you don't know about this program and you're finding it here and you're no longer unconscious, incompetent, but you're now aware of the world of sales and professional sales education and these programs, please reach out to Terry and find out more how you can be involved with that or any schools in your area. Again, Terry, big thank you for being here. Big thank you for everything you're doing in the world of sales to literally shift it in ways that people like I can only dream about doing. You're doing it and you're creating this. And I just thank you so much for that and for being here and giving all that you do to the world. I appreciate that so much.
Thank you, Jason. It's been great. I appreciate what you're doing. I think the more people that we can get exposed to, not just us, but all the other schools out there and the Sales Education Foundation, it's going to help the schools. We have to have partnerships, but the more companies know about it, the more we can get the word spread, the better. So I greatly appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
You are welcome. And for people tuning in, that's what this season is all about, is literally me talking to as many professional sales education programs as I can. I've been doing a bunch, have a lot more scheduled. Make sure to subscribe. Stay tuned this whole season to find out a lot more of this. Maybe there's a school that you didn't know how to program. You want to get involved somewhere that, you know, closer to where you're at. But make sure to check all these. And once again, thank you for being a part of this and for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.